And in 3, 2, 1, we're live. Welcome back to the Operation Lighthouse podcast. We are your hosts, Jim and Carrie.
Oh, I was going to say it.
What were we going to
go for? I thought you'd say JP and KP.
So, well,
I was going to change it up and say Jim and Carrie. And then you literally said Jim and same brain. Same brain. Two geniuses, one podcast. What more could Genesee County and other surrounding areas ask for?
It's really one genius. I just balance it out. we can say it how it is. It's fine.
What's on the agenda for tonight, James?
Tonight, well, in honor of the professional trades and apprenticeship event tonight at Holly High School, I had the opportunity to represent North Oakland County Fire Authority and go in and talk to young people. Also some moms and dads also interested in serving their community, which I thought was cool. But I thought we'd talk about recruitment and retention. I don't know why retention's in there, but recruitment, like getting people interested and bringing them into our respective fields. I mean, I don't know how you guys are doing as educators, but I know...
The nation knows how we're doing as educators. What do you mean you don't know? Dude,
no.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. What everybody knows is that people are cast in shade. But I guess same for us. So, I mean, it's difficult right now to get people interested in doing anything other than being a social media influencer and or an entrepreneur.
I knew that was coming next.
Right.
So there's like
what I would ask people that say that they're an entrepreneur, I would ask when their last preneur was. I don't know if that's really what that means or how it works.
What?
What was the last thing they paneured? Is that what it is? I don't know. Let's look up the Greek definition of the word.
What's happening right now?
I don't even know.
What does paneured even mean?
What does entrepreneur mean?
A person who owns and operates their own small business.
No, it can't be that simple.
Yeah, it literally is.
Then the paneur would be the last business they owned or operated.
I'm getting dumber as I sit here. My IQ has dropped significantly.
Anyway.
Let's go to the Oxford Dictionary. One of the most...
We're not British. Go for it.
It's the most well-respected dictionary in all of America's, maybe the world.
What about Webster's?
No, Jim, it's Oxford.
What happened to Webster's?
They got taken out by Oxford.
This is some something.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Entrepreneur, noun, a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so.
Okay. Will you type in just the paneur part and see if there's a definition?
Sure.
Dude, we're all learning together.
We're learning
together, friends.
It doesn't exist.
Well, in any case, that is really the thing, you know.
I'm cutting you off because it's necessary. When we were in high school, everything in America was very college, like 4-year college focused.
Yes.
You have to go to college or you basically will amount to nothing.
Right.
Was the underlying message, even though those words weren't necessarily the ones that were spoken. Then there was a huge shift.
Right. It was just assumed.
There was a huge shift sometime after that into, you don't necessarily have to go to college. It's a good option. But here are other things that you could do as well. Mm-hmm. Trades have never really been the shift.
No.
Like, trades have never really been in the forefront, right. Which now is why trades are struggling so much.
Right.
Because most tradesmen and or women are approaching retirement. Like, they're on the downward side of the hill, if you
definitely
will.
Definitely the back nine, yep.
And there aren't young people who are coming in at the same rate as the, like, elder people are leaving.
Right.
You know, so there's definitely a deficit there, which now is making trades like a hot ticket. Mm-hmm. So, like, trades in the 2020s are what college was back in the, you know, 80s and 90s, basically. Right. So, like, I mean, if you or someone that you know is a high school-ish aged or early 20s aged person, like, trades is where it's at.
Right.
And if you can find a program to help you hone whatever skill set it is that you need to be successful in said trade, you can make a ridiculous amount of money. Like, for example, welding, which neither of us do, but I've always been very interested in personally. Welding is one field right now in the trades that is literally blowing up. Mm-hmm. And if you can weld, like, well and successfully and meet the standards and the styles of welds that are necessary,
right,
you can make, like, literally there is no ceiling on the amount of money that you can make.
Heavy equipment operators, six figures.
Yeah, it's insane.
And they had people in this job fair thing tonight. They had, like, this, like, robotic stuff. They had, like, people in there from the different, like, news channels showing how, like, the training to be...
like a camera person?
Yeah, to operate the cameras, operate the sound.
Well, I went
like
to
the sound in a recording studio.
See, like, and I think one of the biggest misses is that a lot of schools don't have the resources to necessarily promote trades within their own school buildings. So, and many smaller districts don't.
Right.
So then the kids who are interested in trades are left to kind of seek it out on their own or attend, like, GCI, like Genesee Career Institute, the old Skill Center.
Right.
You know, for anyone who's over the age of 30, it'd be Skill Center. But, you know, those spots are limited. Like, for example, in the last district I taught at, we had maybe, like, 20 kids, maybe, out of our whole school that were even, like, spots open to go to GCI.
Right.
That's not a lot. You know, and honestly, I want to say there was maybe like 10 that actually went. And there were no programs within our own high school to support trades-related careers.
It's such a wide, it's like vast, open, like, world of opportunity.
It is. It really is. But what you're talking about with this, like, career fair expo for trades, it's wonderful because kids have the opportunity to really, like, cast such a wide net and be able to realistically see and speak to people who are doing those things. So it, like, brings life and reality to the subject.
Yeah.
Like, you can read about anything that you want, but it makes no difference. But when you talk to someone face to face, and they sound energized about what they're doing, and they're excited, and they want to share the information with you, it creates more of a captive audience and someone that's actually going to listen. And maybe they can see themselves, you know, in that same type of position as well.
Right.
You know, trades within a school, trades are very expensive to run and to operate. It takes a specific type of instructor who has not only the credentialing to be able to be a teacher, but the credentialing to be a, you know, career and technical education educator who also has to know how to operate all of the machines or equipment or whatever tools are required for that specific industry. And then you have to have all that stuff. So, like, if your school is going to have a wood shop, as an example, like, think of how many tools, high quality, commercial grade tools that you like. You ain't running a workshop off Harbor Freight.
Right.
You have to have the good stuff.
As a side note, Holly High School has a beautiful wood shop because we were right adjacent to it where they had a little dinner for us.
Yeah, like, I mean, you have to have the good stuff to last. Then think of how much money are you spending on lumber.
Right.
So students can complete projects.
Right.
And fasteners and all the other things. And a lot of schools, unfortunately, just can't, they can't afford those expenses.
What's cool, though, is that you can do a thing like what they had tonight and reach out to the local businesses or what have you that are doing these things, these different trades. And it was like a fun atmosphere, because like I was talking to a kid, and then the robotics guy tried to get his attention while I was talking to him, and I may or may not have hucked a water bottle at the robotics guy to shut him down because I was talking to the dude about firefighting. But like all of these respective trades are desperate to get young people in them. So these young people have, maybe their interest isn't quite peaked, but it's just like you're just scratching the surface.
Right.
But then have all these different grown adults who are running these different things, like competing to invest in you.
Yeah. It's just, it's very interesting dynamic. Like,
it's like a perfect storm almost for both parties.
Right. One of my students, from my first year in my last district, so this particular student would be like 21-ish now, and he is working in the electrical industry. And he went into like a apprenticeship type position, a paid apprenticeship type position after he graduated. And then, you know, later I saw him post something on social media like all of his best friends, like at work now, are all people who are like the age of his parents.
Right.
Like, who would have thought that as a 20-year-old, this is what he's writing, I would be hanging out with people that are my parents' age. And it was like a joke, like, you know, what are you doing on Saturday night? Oh, I'm going to John's, you know, 50th birthday party. You know, right. Kind of a thing. But
it's a weird time in our country, in like society, because like while it's a total blessing and I'm stoked and would never give my spot up, but there's no way in hell that a 54-year-old man, in reality, I should not be the one coming into a full-time fire spot in that industry. It should be young people coming into that. Like, I should be while I am in the autumn of my career, and this is a good way to transition out, if there was enough young people willing to get into that, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been an opportunity for me, and that would have sucked, but it's not how it's supposed to be. You shouldn't be middle-aged, still doing the thing, and the reason you're doing the thing is because there's no pool to choose from right now of young people. So,
and because you love the thing.
Love the thing.
Let's not overshadow that part.
Right, I do love it, and it is like, really, when they say it's the best job you could ever have, it really is. But with that said, I also want to be the guy that's like, hey, you know, showing these young dudes, like, this is literally the best job you could ever have, ever. And just getting that interest and getting people. Because when it's time to step down and retire, or we don't live where I work. So to have young people invested and interested in doing the thing that protects us in the community we live in, right? And so, yeah, it was a cool night. It was cool to see young people interested in not college, but the trades and
just to get high school age students to come back to school in the evening to attend something.
And be stoked on it.
And, right, just to get them to be there is a hurdle.
Right.
But to get them to be there and be excited or engaged or want more information, it really speaks a lot to what is happening within the school.
Right.
Like, there has to be some good stuff that's going on there, communication-wise, relationships with students, between staff and students, administrators and students, to create the kind of environment
where they would want to
where
come back.
The kids, they would want to be there.
Because
there is nothing more valuable to a teenager than their time away from school.
Right. Also, as a side note on the night, I did see Olivia Fetters. She was there recruiting kids into JROTC.
Oh, there you go. See?
Holly High School has partnered with that group in Genesee County to bring that opportunity to their students. So that was cool.
You saw all kinds of familiar faces.
I did, man.
That's wonderful.
And that's a cool thing, too, right? Kids investing back into kids. That's pretty dope. You know, and anytime I see young people wanting to be involved in something military, it's brings me great hope for the country.
Warms your heart a little
bit. It does indeed. Yeah, man. It was just a very cool, you know, and like, I know there's a lot that goes into it, and I think that we're getting ready to build up a cool program at NACFA to get, I think we're, hopefully what we're going to try to put together is a cadet program and an explorer program. An explorer program where we would, like what we kind of went over tonight and just between me and the lieutenant was like the idea of like doing a summer camp, like a summer, a week long day camp where, you know, mom and or dad drops the kid off for like a 6 or 4 or whatever, 8 hour day. And then we're just up there and they do
different things,
different fire department related things.
That would be cool.
Yeah. It's just taking the time to invest and all that stuff. Like really put in, you know, because I think it takes a lot of investment.
It is a lot of time and investment, and building relationships within the community is definitely the key place to get started.
Right.
To, you know, keep a positive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
With community members and whatever business, organization, etc. it is that you have.
Right. I feel like it should be easy for us as like a fire department, because when we're pouring back into the community, we're pouring back into the people who via their taxes are paying us.
Well, it is very cyclical, if you will.
Right. And well, I mean, and sometimes not everybody gets that, so there's that little hurdle to go over. So for like in the educator space.
Oh dear.
No, but we got to talk about it.
Go for it.
Like, I know probably you guys have the same staffing shortages and stuff like that. Is it something that can be recruited? Or is it something you just have to be born with a thing? I want to do this. I mean, what's the upside?
I think it can be both. I mean, I think that as a teacher, you know, you can see qualities within a student
mm-hmm.
that you, like, you can pick out what they are good at, like right. what comes naturally to them and what their like, God-given abilities are, that, you know, stuff that they are successful at that they really don't have to work very hard to do. And then you can try to capitalize on those within the classroom and, you know, not necessarily steer them in one direction or another, but just make sure that they understand and are aware of, you know, things that they're good at. And that just helps in building relationships with students and helping them learn more about themselves. I mean, I don't know, teaching isn't just about the curriculum.
Right.
You know, it's important, obviously, that's why the students are there, is to learn and to gain knowledge and all kinds of academic related things. But teaching has so many more aspects that go along with it that I don't think people necessarily outside of education can really realize. And I mean, I'm still very, very new in my teaching time. I mean, right. I'm only in my fifth year right now, which seems like a lot of time, but you know, when I'm working with people who have been working for 10, 15, 20, 25 plus years, 5 years really isn't very much.
Right.
You know? So I'm sure my colleagues or other teachers in different districts could probably speak to some of this stuff a little bit more eloquently maybe than I can, but there are so many other aspects of teaching and, like, you know, you guys, you could say, like, hats that you wear, that it's not just about the curriculum.
Right.
But, you know, the biggest one is building relationships with students. And if you're able to make a connection with a student, that connection will carry more weight with that kid than any curriculum you could ever right. teach them. And, like, historically speaking, if you build a relationship with a student, they're more apt to work harder for you because they want to, like, subconsciously, they want to, like, show you that they care.
Right.
And they do that by completing their work.
Mm-hmm.
This is wild. But, I mean, that's the biggest, I think that's the biggest takeaway, is just building relationships with students, making connections with them, trying to find out things about them, and then, you know, build, like, a common ground. Can you kind of gear them towards also going into the teaching field? Well, of course you can. I mean, you can always plant the seed. Like, these are things I see. These are things I see that you're successful at. Have you ever considered, you know, doing this as a career? Like, you know, what are your thoughts about that? So I think that it's definitely something that you could steer students toward if you wanted. Is that right or wrong? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's no different than, you know, finding other qualities in them if you were a coach
right.
and wanting to guide them, you know, and help hone their athletic abilities so that they could take those into college or, like, a minor league or, you know, maybe major league. Who knows,
right.
depending on the athlete. But it all kind of is the same. But teaching's pretty wild right now, James. I got to be honest with you. I feel very fortunate in the district that I work in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like my perspective is things are going pretty well. And I think there's a lot of stability and growth within the district that I'm at. And I feel very fortunate to have been provided an opportunity, you know, to be a part of the district and get to know the community.
Yeah.
But it's not like that everywhere. And a lot of just different teachers that I know from different areas within the state, like, they're not all having that same experience.
Right.
And it makes it difficult, and it makes it, like, difficult to do your job.
Well,
it makes it difficult to come in and teach the curriculum and build relationship with students. And then there's so many other things that are complicating all of that. But when those other things come in that make complications, it changes the public's opinion of what's going on within the classroom. And then, you know, questions come up and, you know, maybe there's like a big red flag issue somewhere else, and then that gets blown up in the media, and now,
right.
you know, there's, you know, these teachers, that's why our kids are not doing well on standardized tests, because, you know, they're trying to build relationships and not teach curriculum. Like,
right.
that's not what my tax dollars are paying for, or whatever it is that's going on at the
right.
time. And, you know, those people who hold opinions such as that, generally speaking, probably haven't spent a lot of time within a classroom.
Right.
And, you know, they really need to be invited in. Like, come see what it's really like. Like, come see what we really do. Come see
right.
what we're really dealing with. See the lack of supplies, or, you know, whatever it is within the district that individual might be working in.
That is definitely a wild thing.
But, you know, teachers are needed. Education isn't going away.
Right.
It's changing and evolving, definitely, just like everything else in the world, especially as technology and, you know, use of computers and stuff becomes more prevalent. But teaching is not leaving
right.
America anytime soon.
Right.
So there still
yeah.
needs to be people to educate our youth and provide them with opportunities, you know, and see
right.
the good things in them, stuff that maybe their family isn't seeing, and just be able to build them up and help them grow their confidence and hone all their skills so that whatever career it is that they decide to do, they can go into. But, right. you know, one challenge I feel like we face within education is that educators in general, I'm not talking about my district because this isn't the case there, but in general, educators aren't always supportive of other educators. And so there are droves of new teachers, 1 to 3 to 5 years, who have completed all of their schooling, they've done their student teaching, they get into a classroom, it's not a district that has great things happening, mm-hmm. and they say, forget this, I'm out.
Right.
And they work for, you know, 1 to 3 years within education, and then they leave. It's not, like, the nation doesn't have a shortage of teachers. There are plenty of people who are credentialed to teach within a classroom in the nation, in the United States. The shortage is there are not enough people who are willing to put up with all of the BS that goes along with it sometimes. That's the issue.
Right. And yeah, like you said, there's such a just crap load of stuff on social media now, and you know, everything, it seems like everything is like through this kind of like geopolitical lens, so people have made their decisions about how what public education is without, like you said, without ever stepping foot into the classroom,
right, without really having a true frame of reference,
right, like whatever the case may be.
Well,
it might have happened in one school in one town in America, but now the storyline is that all schools are teaching this.
Right. Well, and when I was in school, or when you were in school, your choices really were public or private.
Right.
So you went to a public education system, or you went to a private education system, which was
typically church school.
Right. Based on some sort of religion, whatever right. that case may be, you know, whatever religious affiliation it was.
Right.
But now there's public, there's private, there's charter schools, there's homeschooling is becoming a lot more prevalent as well.
Right.
There's homeschool networks to support families
right.
who are electing to homeschool their children. Mm-hmm. There's online school. Right. There's like accelerated academies.
Right.
There's so many more options that are available to people that, you know, that also plays a role in it. But I mean, teachers are still filling the majority of those positions.
Right.
And I've read quite a few articles online that many of the homeschool networks that are in place, I don't know if that's necessarily the right terminology, right. but basically it's like programs that people who are homeschooling can send their students or children to for additional educational opportunities. But those are being taught, facilitated by teachers who have left the traditional teaching profession. Right. You know, so there's still opportunities that are there, but
it's just
retention is, I think, a big issue
right.
within education. Recruitment, I think, is one, but I think retention is a bigger one.
Yeah, I think recruitment is more my industry, whereas retention is more your industry. Because typically, once people are in the door, in the fire service and stuff like that specifically, you're in, dude. You're in. And you pretty much love it, and you just stay in.
Well, and I think one big difference that goes along with that is when you're at work, you're working around your colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to them, you see them, you spend time with them, you complete projects together.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at work, I'm in my classroom.
Right.
I don't really talk to my colleagues throughout right. the day. During my planning period, you know, like my free hour of the day to use to work on curriculum, grading, and other job-related tasks, I'm typically in my classroom doing stuff, like doing work-related yeah. stuff.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of, like, interaction with my colleagues aside from like, hey, how's it going? Small talky type stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not spending time with them, like collaborating on projects and assignments and things like that. So even though there's like, you know, 40 people all working in the same building, mm-hmm. I literally may talk to 1 to 2 adults throughout the entire day.
That's wild.
But I'm talking to like, you know, 100 kids.
Right.
All day long. So even though it's a very social career, you know, you're always around people. You aren't necessarily doing all of those things with your right. colleagues. More time is spent like doing individual type stuff.
Name.
So, I mean, that makes a big difference because it's hard to build relationships right. with your colleagues when you really don't ever see them, because it's not like everybody doesn't have the same planning period. They're all spaced out throughout the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it hard to, well, now I need to go talk to the teacher, you know, who's next door to me that we teach in the same department and the same subjects, but I have third hour planning and they have fifth hour planning. So when I have no class, they have class. And when they have no class, I have class. So that doesn't work for us. It just, it makes it a little bit more complicated.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is difficult to build relationships with the people that you work with when you literally don't have right. ample opportunities to talk to them throughout the day as though you would in most other types of careers.
Right. Huh. On the flip side of that, when you spend too much time around too many people, even though you would have their back and do whatever you could to make sure they stayed safe and got home okay, sometimes you just want to scrap with these fools.
Sometimes.
But, I don't know, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's really nice to just talk to other grown-ups. And that you just don't necessarily always have the opportunity.
Right. That's wild. That's a contrast and compare moment.
Many teachers. Because
sometimes there's just too much time with grown-ups. And what I want them all to do is shut the actual, you know what.
Go take a nap.
Up. Go take a nap, dog.
You know, many, many teachers that I have met throughout my 5 years of working in schools are like introverted extroverts. Hmm. We like to be alone when we have time to be alone. And we like to talk to our students when we talk to our students. And then don't really talk to each other very much. Just kind of do what we need to do and wrap up the day and then head home. And then you head home and you're kind of
student-aged humans.
You're all like peopled out, you know? Right. You put on the show, I guess, that you needed to throughout the day. That's a bad way to say it, but...
No, but it's got to be somewhat performative, right?
You did all of your work while you're at work, and then, like, you get home, and you're like, I just don't really want to talk to anybody else right now.
Yeah.
And then there's always people there when you get home. And you got one tiny human that
only wants to talk to you.
Yeah, so...
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it is... Having a 25-minute drive to come home is nice, because you kind of have some downtime to reset,
mm-hmm.
but... Yeah, it's just, it's very, very interesting.
I can imagine. Well, I think we covered what I wanted to cover. That was a good topic. Interesting. It's interesting how, like, the two things are similar yet, like, opposites, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I'm sure we'll get back into this. But, for tonight, that's going to be it. And as always, you guys know what to do. If you need help, get it. Hit me up on Messenger. If you have my number, you can use it, but not everybody has that. Or dial, text, or message 988, and they will get you connected to who you need to be connected to. And with that, we bid you farewell, and we'll be back at you next week. Deuces.